This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's been a little while, but it's Worldwide Wave time again. Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. And a big welcome to the studio to an old Worldwide Wave voice. I mean that in the nicest possible way. Barbara.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Now, you used to be a part of our Worldwide Wave panel, and you've now gone on to bigger, brighter things on Three Chords and the Truth.
Yes, I do that on Sundays.
Sunday afternoon is one of my favourite shows. So, yes, thank you for coming back and joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
And we've got a wonderful, huge show tonight.
Yes, so being a teenager is complicated enough, even before you throw sexuality in the mix. As a teenager, our parents are often the most important influence in our lives, but what happens when your parents place you into so-called gay conversion therapy because that's what they feel is the best for your life?
Benoit Berthet, he was 15 years old when he entered so-called conversion therapy in France. He has told his story to the Parliament of France so that others won't have to. It has been a journey of trauma and of strength. You'll hear how he and his parents faced off during France's marriage equality debate and where their relationship is at now. And also the part that Harry Potter played in this saga. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
I was feeling bad, obviously, because I understood that it was not accepted in my family and acceptable to be homosexual or to become a homosexual. So I wanted to follow the advice of my parents. The issue with this therapy is that they use the fact that you don't feel good to tell you, you see, you don't feel good, so you're kind of sick. We will help you to feel better.
Now, we will be dealing with some issues tonight that some people might find challenging. Be assured there are many people here in Australia here to support you, including Lifeline on 13 11 14, QLife, the National LGBTI Counselling Service on 1800 184 527, and beyondblue.org.au.
Benoit Berthet had no idea where his journey would take him when he came out to his parents. The religious family turned to their friends for advice and were told they were so people that could help with so-called conversion therapy. We say so-called as it is not a recognized therapy, and there are countless examples of the harm it causes to individuals around the world, including Australia. His parents thought they were doing the right thing. It was a decision that tore his family apart. We asked Benoit to tell us how he came to be subjected to so-called conversion therapy.
When I was 14 or 15, I came out to my parents in a very, I would say, spontaneous way, because I knew I was attracted by men when I was 10, 11. And in my very Catholic family, it was not very, homosexuality was badly seen. So I hid that to my parents for a few years. And at 15, I was in a big convention with the Protestant evangelic people and also Catholic people. And I mean, they talked about a lot of stuff, including a book that I loved reading at the time called Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. That everybody knows, I'm sure. And they said that this book was satanistic, which made me very upset. I came back to my mother saying that the priest was lying, that it's just a book like any other books and stories, and there is nothing bad in telling stories with magic. It's not because there is magic that it's satanistic. And probably the priest was jealous that the book was very famous, and he would have preferred that the Bible to be written by young people. So because of this story, my mother told me, it's been like a few years that we feel that you're different, that you're not talking to us anymore. So it's probably because of the book. Yeah. And I knew that the truth was that it was not because of the book, but because I knew I was attracted by men. I couldn't say gay or homosexual at the time because it was too tough and difficult and badly seen by my family. So to protect my passion for this book, I decided to tell the truth and to show my mother the priest was lying and it was not true, etc., and to defend my passion. So I unexpectedly came out to my parents saying that I was attracted by men. And the reaction of my mother was really interesting. She asked me two questions. She asked me, have you been touched by a priest? Because I was every Sunday helping priests. We say in French, enfant de cœur. I don't know how to say that. Exactly. And she asked me, did you have already some homosexual relationship or something like that? Which I answered that I by the negative. I didn't at the time. And I like to mention those two questions because for me, it was clear that homosexuality for my parents was something you could catch like a sickness or that needs to be fixed like a sickness, basically. So after telling that to my parents, they said they would help me going through that, that I was a teenager, that those things can change, that living a gay life will not make me happy. But she said, we will do that after taking care of Harry Potter. They deleted Harry Potter from my life by forbidding the books and taking all the posters I had in my room. And then after that tough time, I went through what we call today conversion therapy. Because my parents like took advice to some Catholic friends and they mentioned this therapy.
So was so your parents suggested this this therapy or this intervention for you? Did they describe what was going to happen to you, or how did they talk about it?
Well, I think at the time we never really named those therapy or session like gay conversion therapy. That's a modern way to call them, but they had different names. So one of them was called in French, guérison de blessure profonde. So I don't know how to translate.
Healing deep harm or deep trauma. Healing deep trauma.
Exactly. Yeah. So you could also meet there some people who were not only affected by homosexuality, but people who got raped, young people who had other issues. But basically, they were trying to heal people by praying and stuff that doesn't usually work when you're really, really bad and you need help from people.
Yeah.
Obviously, in my case, I was feeling bad, obviously, because I understood that it was not accepted in my family and acceptable to be homosexual or to become a homosexual. So I wanted to follow the advice of my parents. The issue with this therapy is that they use the fact that you don't feel good to tell you, you see, you don't feel good, so you're kind of sick. We will help you to feel better. And I remember another one called Agape. They basically, both of them were using weird mix of psychology and spirituality, which is, I think, now with more age and maturity, is very dangerous. Can be close to a sect, I think, and those kind of danger.
So it can be really harmful in to people, as we know. I wanted to ask, out of the people that conducted these therapies, did you have a sense that any of them had medical training or psychological training?
Well, the issue with this question is I was really young. I mean, I was a teenager and I was just answering questions. So in France, we have a national assembly trying to create a law to forbid those gay conversion therapy. And I've been auditioned to testimony, and they asked me the same question because they find that it's very dangerous if those people are not really expert on the question. And what I answered to the deputy was, and the MPs was, I didn't ask their diploma, because when you're under 18, you trust your parents and you trust the people you get to see. And sometimes there were non-priests people, and sometimes they're a priest, but they both enjoy a posture where you have to be confident and to trust them. You can only trust them because they are here to help you. But for me, more and more I was doing those gay conversion therapy, I couldn't find, I couldn't recognize myself in what they described of what I was going through and what they were describing homosexuality. Obviously, they were describing that in an awful way, and it was making me very scared of the subject, but I couldn't recognize myself in that, and I could still feel the attraction more and more, so I could feel that there were a disconnection.
That's a very brave Benoit Berthet speaking with Stéphane there on Joy 94.9. It's if tonight's discussion is raising any issues with you, don't forget Lifeline 13 11 14, QLife 1800 184 527 or the Beyond Blue website.
Coming up, we find out how his experience impacted his links with the LGBTI community. You're on Worldwide Wave.
It's our summer of love. Joy!
Tonight we're talking about so-called gay conversion therapy in France.
Yes, a very interesting topic. And over the weekend, Matt, I was thinking, I saw on the news this, they were talking about the Super Bowl in America. And
the most stupid sport I've ever seen, yes.
Well, yeah, I must admit I'm not the biggest fan either. But
the entertainment is what everybody watches for. And the ads.
Yes. Yep. And so apparently, so J-Lo and Shakira performed. And
yes.
There are some people who say they're working on making America gay again.
Oh, now which, see, that's a cap that I'd wear.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Mayor Pete. He's running for president. He's the gay mayor.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his cap. Yeah. Instead of making America great again, make America gay again.
Yeah, I think that's a way better slogan.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking... With Australia, and you know, we've got a few like grand finals, as we call them here, like AFL.
Football
and
is a religion, yes.
So, who would we want to perform to make Australia
make
a
Australia
little bit more
gay again? Our listeners will have some ideas on this one. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, Anthony Kalia would come to mind.
Yeah. What about Kylie?
Well, I don't think there'd be any football fans there. Like, the gay community would just take out the whole stadium. Yes, definitely go for that
I
one.
Yeah, I think I've...
What about... Bob Down.
Mm.
Bob Down, the ultimate camp of camp performers.
Yes.
Tonight we are tackling the issue of so-called gay conversion therapy through a young French survivor, Benoit Berthet. Benoit now knows the hurt it caused him, but we asked him if there was a time when he thought it might actually be a good intervention for him.
Yeah, I mean, I had a very good education. My parents were very... they gave me a lot of good values. Mm. They made me go to a lot of theaters and culture, and I was doing music studies and a lot of stuff. I was drawing. I don't know how to say that in English, but épanoui. I was happy.
Flourishing.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I was kind of... It was okay. So I never had major issue in my education. So when my parents told me, we will help you, you trust them. And when they say this gay life that you want to avoid will not make you happy, you trust them. And that's also what I said during the testimony in the National Assembly in France. When you're a kid, even when you grow up in 2003 or four, you don't want only to be accepted by society, and I knew society were more open to homosexuality, but you want to be accepted by the community you're living in, so by your family, by your church and everything, so you trust them.
So what do you think was the impact of this period of your life on the rest of your life and you know, and your relationship in the LGBT community or trying to meet people?
So during the process, I obviously didn't had any link with the LGBTQ plus community at all, because I was in a small town in France. And obviously what the gay conversion therapy are telling you is that those people are kind of pervert or they are in the wrong path. It creates you fear of meeting them and disgust. So I had no links and I didn't know many people. But I remember I had one teacher at high school, my chemical and physics teacher, who was probably gay and very, I would say, openly with gay manners. Mm. And I felt and I remember strong disgust watching him, and it was homophobia. And I know now with again a bit more background and age that those gay conversion therapy only increased my internal homophobia against that man. So when I stopped the gay conversion therapy by being a major after 18 and leaving my home to go and study in Paris, I knew that I had to perhaps discover more my way. Who were those people? And trying to meet people who were feeling the same way. But it was a lot of fear again. So I started to chat a lot through internet, yeah, on websites and forums where you only chat, nothing sexual. It was only sharing stories and stuff, because I felt protected by the computer screen.
Yeah.
Obviously. And what I did is, for 1 year, I spent every evening after doing my homework to ask those people to tell me their story. And I discovered that you cannot describe homosexuals and homosexuality in one story. It's homosexual is different. So it was a big discover, because I got told beautiful stories and sad stories, but it was life, and it was only, yeah, I could only think that my life belongs to me, and me being happy only depends of the choice I will do, yeah, and not the sexual orientation I have. But it was a long process. It took me probably more than a year, and I still had a lot of homophobia to fight against after those gay conversion therapy being passed.
Religion seems to have been a big part of your upbringing, and you're from a really, really religious family. What is your relationship with religion now?
Well, after the gay conversion therapy, I continued to go to church for, I would say, 4 years. And it was a bizarre mixture of following tradition and what I felt and my faith that my parents gave me, but also feeling being there as intruders or not being fully accepted in that community, not being able to tell fully who I am. So I was just going to church and not discussing with anybody every Sundays, as my parents taught me to do. But in 2012, I think, we had a big debate for gay wedding, and the debate got invited in the church. And it was very strong, the argues and what the priests were saying during the homily, and when they are educating people about the text, was totally out of Bible and was only political speech and strong things that I was disagreeing with. So I felt totally in a schizophrenic position, and I felt I am not true to myself continuing going to church.
Okay.
And I'm just hurting myself again and again going there. So I need to be true to myself. So I decided to slam the door of the institution and not going there anymore, because it was more hurting me than anything else and not helping me at all anymore. And I felt fully rejected. Mm. I think the institution and the Catholic institution and gay conversion therapy trampled totally my faith. Mm. So now my faith is what it is. It's broken. I still have a connection, I would say, probably most likely described as a Christian or agnostic Christian, I don't know. But I am not feeling a part of the Catholic family anymore. And I cannot feel Catholic anymore until they fully apologize for what happened to me.
That's Benoît Berthet from France sharing his experience with about so-called conversion therapy. You're on Joy 94.9 Worldwide Wave.
And that was already a pretty big story there. And, it's pretty amazing. And someone
so young too.
Yes.
And one of the things that inspires me is that he has channeled the pain that he went through, mm-hmm. not just with his family, but with the church, with, you know, well, being a teenager, into something that's really positive. He's spoken to the parliament to, you know, try and get them to outlaw conversion therapy. I mean, that's a big step
Super
for a young guy.
Super brave, mm-hmm. yeah, in parliament. And the things he sort of touches on in what he's said so far, like going from this deep, basically wish to please his parents, you know, what we all want to do
it's
that.
It's tricky,
we all
isn't it? Yeah.
Want to be good kids. So,
yep.
of course, we trust our parents.
Well, we have to. They've guided us through those early stages.
Yeah.
But is there one point, though, when, I mean, I'm trying to put myself into his shoes, mm. which is very difficult, but is there a point where that churning in your stomach where you're thinking, this just doesn't feel right for me.
Mm. Yeah, and I think he talked about that in the second part when he had to go to church still, and he wanted to go to church. You know, he was a person of faith, but it was, you could really tell from what he was saying, it was tearing him apart inside, that they were so hateful, that the things that were said against gay people, and he still felt that that was him, so he felt attacked,
but also that he couldn't that gay people were bad, therefore mm. he removed himself, like he actually developed internalized homophobia,
yeah.
wasn't able to not just accept himself but actually go out there and meet people who, you know, he built up these walls.
No, it's terrible. And always have to, come back to this, and he talks a lot about it, that he trusted his parents,
mm.
and it's, like as we were saying at the beginning, like his parents obviously wanted the best for him, and that was really not a good thing. Like,
no.
It caused so many other issues, and that's really sad if the people you love and you trust put you through something that's actually almost destroying you inside.
Absolutely. We've got some more coming up with Benoît. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Our diverse communities have one home, Joy.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight we've stopped off in France with a little side trip, a little detour via the USA, talking about the Super Bowl and J-Lo and Shakira gaying up the bowl.
Making America gay again.
I can see that's a T-shirt for Pete Buttigieg,
yeah.
I'm sure, quite sure. We've had a message in on 0427 Joy 949. Thanks, 992. Super Bowl, super stupid. Like it. But I wonder,
that's,
though, yeah. So for there's a stereotype there that the LGBTI community aren't huge, you know, sport football lovers, although that seems to be changing a bit.
Mm.
I wonder if there was a really gay-friendly performer.
Mm.
Would everybody turn out?
Yeah. Oh, I think
if it was Kylie, I would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there's a few other people who have been quite outspoken about, being gay-friendly people, if you want.
Oh, yeah, allies, like, yes.
And people who would fit the description of somebody who performs at a grand final here in Australia.
I'd say Jimmy Barnes is an incredible ally.
Yeah, and he's been really outspoken during the marriage equality debate.
And he'd fit right in with the football crowd as well.
Oh, yeah, they'd love him.
Maybe a bit of Tina.
Tina
Wren. She could sing in French.
Mm, as well.
Yeah, she does. Now, French survivor of so-called gay conversion therapy, Benoît Berthet, has explained that it was his parents who, as a teenager, he trusted completely, that ushered him into this conversion therapy. We wanted to know how his relationship with his parents has changed through this process.
I think it's the beauty of the story, because we have heard already a few stories of people who went through gay conversion therapy. Some of them got adapted in TV things or cinema. And many of them ended badly with people totally disconnected from their family or people committed suicide. Mm. On my side, I now can say that I'm fully happy. I totally embrace who I am, which is somebody who lives in London. I am homosexual, but not only a homosexual. I am many other things, but it's totally part of my identity, and I am happy with it. The story with my family was a complicated process. It took years and years for me to fully forgive my parents. And I think I forgave them before they apologized, because I understood they did that too, because they loved me and they thought they were doing the right things. But to understand that, you need the pain to be less strong. So during the gay wedding debate in France, we had many, many fights by the phone. My parents were in the street in manifestation against the gay wedding while I was attending Senate and National Assembly speech on gay wedding and trying to understand and support the gay wedding. So we were very split at the time. And on my Facebook, I remember all my gay or artistic friends, because I work in the artistic industry. They were fighting against my parents and family argument, and it was a massive fight. Mm. And it was really difficult and heavy. So I decided to call more my parents and to just tell my story, the way I was living in London, stupid details or more meaningful details, trying to share more than fights on ideas. And that really helped the process of relearning to know each other and relearning how to build a relationship with my parents. And by doing that, I was not aware of what I was doing. I was just happy that the communication was getting better. I also showed them that I was happy. So because it was true, and I was only sharing my happiness with my parents. So by doing that, my parents understood that I could be happy being a homosexual, even though they still at the time believed homosexuality was bad. Mm. But by doing that, they started to perhaps question themselves and being like, but if you can be happy as a homosexual, why is it so bad? And that's started to flourish a new thinking in them. They were starting to really change. And since that day to until today, they fully did a massive way, which I'm very proud of fully understanding that church was wrong on that subject, that homosexuals were badly welcomed, and that the subject was badly approached, and gay conversion therapy extremely dangerous. So they recently accepted to help me in the process of testimony. We had a massive documentary being released in France on a public channel, and my mother wanted to help the directors and the authors, and she didn't want to appear on cameras because she was scared of my family reaction and everybody. But at the end, she 2 weeks before the shooting at home, she said, okay, I will do it, and whatever happened, happens. So she jumped, and since that day, she is now fighting more publicly on the danger of gay conversion therapy, which made me extremely proud.
That was Benoît Berthe talking to us at World Wide Wave. Thank you very much, Benoît, for talking to us tonight.
Thank you.
So we heard this incredible story of Benoît here, and
I'm so happy it turned out well.
Such a good happy end. I wasn't really.
It was a Disney ending, that one.
Yeah. You wouldn't think that from the earlier things he described and how it really stretched his relationship with his parents, and there was only
they were quite divergent.
Yeah.
And one thing that rung true there when he was talking about the marriage equality debate, and you know, on social media, he had his friends on one side and his parents on the parents and family on the other side, you know, at each other. And it took me back to our marriage equality debate here. And again, social media was horrible.
Yeah, and also it plays now such a big role in influencing people, you know, one or the other way.
It
like
does.
You
yeah.
only see what you kind of want to see. You are in your bubble, and then all of a sudden,
the feed actually sends you things which are more like you. You kind of don't get the other side.
And then all of a sudden, you have these reality checks where, like with Benoît, where his parents clashed with his friends, and I mean, that's in a way as well amazing that his friends, you know, stood up and had that fight for him, because I think it's very hard for a child too. argue with parents about these things all the time. So
he's got such a maturity for a young person and what he's gone through too. I loved that he started talking to his parents, just telling about him and his life and how happy he was. And that kind of got them. That's what the parents really wanted.
And that wasn't even his intention. There was no plan there. He just thought, you know, I just tell you a few things about my
life.
And basically, accidentally, they picked up that he was really happy and fine. And that brought them to question this point of view that they thought a gay life is a miserable life and an unhappy life, which it is not.
No. Free, gay and happy, especially here at Joy. And the fact that she was sort of trying to help out behind the scenes for the documentary. The documentary is called God is Love. It's in French. I believe it has subtitles, though. So if you can find that one, I haven't been able to find it yet, but it might be coming here in one of the upcoming Queer Film Festival. Who knows?
The mum's really come around.
I know.
She's now an advocate.
Absolutely.
Like, how good is that?
She'll be starting up her own PFLAG branch.
Yes.
God love her. It's been a pleasure having Benoit with us on the show tonight. In fact, Stéphane, it was a great interview. It was a really long interview, so we've got heaps more of what Benoit is saying. Mm-hmm. We're going to put that out as a extended interview on a podcast. You can find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or any of your favourite platforms, the iTunes, all the podcast platforms. It's World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Scott from the Equality Network Scotland on the World Wide Wave.
Somebody has come into the studio.
Yes.
It is a person from our past.
Yeah. It is definitely a person from your past.
But it is also David from a new show. Well, not a new show, actually. You've been around the traps. You're our neighbours now. You're following us at 8 o'clock. What's your show, David?
Well, it's called Hooked, and it's a program...
Oh, I'm hooked already.
Thank you. Hooked on Joy 94.9. Most of us are hooked on Joy 94.9. It's called Hooked. It's about addiction in the LGBTI community. Now, Russ and I started this program last year and did 2 seasons of it. Addiction rates in our community are much higher than the general population. We were talking about it one day and thought, well, there isn't a conversation about this issue, and it is something that we felt that we could start a conversation about.
Is it particular types of addiction? Are we just talking drugs here, or it could be
anything? We're talking about all addictions, and many people are affected by addiction, whether it's themselves or those that loved ones are affected. They're also affected by other people's addictions as well.
I think that's a really important part that's often forgotten, that the people who have partners or family members who do have an addiction, they are often not even mentioned, and they suffer a lot.
It's like a ripple effect, and it does go out throughout the community. Also, people start to isolate and then they withdraw from our own community and end up in a particularly bad place. So you know, it's about trying to, the opposite of addiction is connection, and we're trying to not necessarily make people fearful at all, but maybe to question some of the behaviours. We've always
been people thinking.
Well, yeah, we've always been the community that loves to party and have a good time, but at times that will hide lots of other issues, and that's where people may find that they've ended up through different issues in their lives, certainly within our community.
So you'll be with us every week from 8, but what's on the show tonight?
Well, tonight we have some fantastic professionals here, and it's Jeremy and Daniel. They're from Q Health, and if you haven't heard about Q Health, you've got to stick around and listen to hear what their message is and what they actually do.
That's Hooked, following us right after World Wide Wave from 8 o'clock.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
So we're almost at the end of the show. So we want to do a big thank you to Benoit Berthe, who was available for the interview today about sharing his personal survival journey about conversion therapy. We also want to point out again the book, God is Love, and the documentary. And also a big thanks to Stéphane again for arranging the interview. That was really awesome.
And the rest of our team, Peter, our podcaster, music maestro, Richard, and social media master, Dean. We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave.
the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7pm Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.